Need new glasses or want a fresh new style? Warby Parker has you covered. Glasses start at just $95, including anti-reflective, scratch-resistant prescription lenses that block 100% of UV rays. Every frame's designed in-house with a huge selection of styles for every face shape. And with Warby Parker's free home try-on program, you can order 5 pairs to try at home for free. Shipping is free both ways, too. Go to warbyparker.com/covered to try 5 pairs of frames at home for free. warbyparker.com/covered.
Hey, I'm Ryan Reynolds.
Recently, I asked Mint Mobile's legal team if big wireless companies are allowed to raise prices due to inflation. They said yes. And then when I asked if raising prices technically violates those onerous 2-year contracts, they said, what the f*** are you talking about, you insane Hollywood ass f-.
So to recap, we're cutting the price of Mint Unlimited from $30 a month to just $15 a month. Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month. Slows full terms at mintmobile.com.
Oh. Yeah, like,
SSID, episode 4, season 3, we're back in this thing, man. Took a little hiatus, but we back, man, at the illustrious Long Island Podcast Studio. Come book a session. So we in here. It's just me today. Brunel is like, he's celebrating his birthday. So when you hear this, go say happy birthday to Brunel. Go buy him a drink or something. I don't know. Go buy and put money on his StockX account or something. I don't know. So I'm here. I'm joined with a very special guest, one of my loved ones, somebody I really fuck with, one of my best homies, one of my biggest headaches. Booking her was like booking Beyonce. But Kai, the Kai Miller, is in the building. Yo, how you doing, Kai?
I'm doing fantastic.
How was your day?
Today was actually a pretty good day.
Sometimes you gotta ask people, like, yo, how was your day?
Absolutely.
You
know what I mean? It's so important just to check in on people.
I feel like sometimes people just jump in what they need you for. And like, nah, how was my day?
Ask yeah, me, at know? Least have the decency. I appreciate it. Right. Thank you so much for having me, though. Let's start there.
Thank you for coming on. You know, it's been a struggle. You know, booking this was
yes,
hard.
Yes, we were going back and forth for a minute. We definitely
we
were.
We was negotiating. I was like, yo, Kai, how do we make this work?
Thank you for being so understanding and working with my schedule. I'm very, very excited to be here.
Of course. Before we get into anything, let the people know what you do, who you are, where you come from, what's your favorite color.
All that good stuff, everything in between. So I am what I like to describe as a creative hustler. I do a lot of things, and I do a lot of them very well. So first and foremost, I am the founder and CEO of The Last New Yorker, and The Last New Yorker is a creative consulting agency that specializes in branding, event curation, and music marketing. We officially launched back in March and of this year, and it's really just been an amazing ride to build my own company and be my own boss, and that comes with its own ups and downs, of course.
Yes, of course, yes.
In addition to that, I also dabble a bit in A&R consulting. As you can see, the music is really where my passion lies. I am really driven. I'm really driven by it in a real way, and I think we have a lot of conversations that just really stem from music and are centered around music and the culture which it inspires.
Yep. Even with Last New Yorker, I was there ground floor.
Yes, like, the very ground floor.
Yo, remember when you was trying to get it launched? You was like, I ain't doing this. You had a Kanye moment. Like, I'm stripping the whole thing, doing it over. I'm like, yo, Kai, come on.
Yes, with the website. The website has been a labor of love. And so we are actually revamping the website again.
Yes.
Just because I want it to be, you know, more functional, more streamlined.
Right.
And I have just more content, and it's always nice to have a facelift.
It's always
time to
stay upgraded, you know what I mean?
Right.
Especially get it, it's your shit, so have it the way you want it, you know what I mean?
Exactly, like, exactly.
You don't have to compromise with anybody, it's just you, you know what I mean?
Exactly, so. But also something I'm learning is not to focus on perfection, but completion.
Okay.
And making sure that we see that through. So we have that coming up this month, actually.
Nice.
We're rolling out the new website, and we also have a newsletter.
I fuck with the newsletter.
Yeah, so you get to stay updated on everything that we have going on, because we have, you know, as I said, I'm a creative hustler. I have my hands in a lot of different places.
Right.
And I work with a lot of really amazing people.
Let know you
people.
Collab with. Like, let them know. Like, let you know your affiliations.
So first and foremost, shout out to 24 Hours. And yes. Shout out to my girl, Goldie Harris. She is absolutely killing it right now.
Yep.
If you don't know, get familiar. She is leading the creative direction and marketing for EQ Distro, which is Roc Nation's newest distribution platform.
That's a flex.
So shout out to them. Goldie is seriously killing it. And, you know, also shout out to my people over at The Gumbo, which is a social club for women in hip hop, which I absolutely love and adore.
Right.
Shout out to Don't Sleep, which is
we're gonna talk about that. We're gonna dive into Don't Sleep.
Shout out to Don't Sleep, which is also a premiere showcase hosted and powered by The Last New Yorker. You know, we have some really dope things in stores for that as well.
Right.
So shout out to 24 Hours, shout out to The Gumbo, shout out to The Collective, shout out to my guy Shaq.
Yes.
Who else is out there? I'm sorry if I'm forgetting names.
Nah, I'm sure they understand.
Shout out to SSID.
Yes, love. That's love.
Shout out to SSID.
That's love.
And shout out to all the artists that I work with and everybody who supports me. It really means a lot to me, because a lot of the times when you are on this entrepreneurial journey, a lot of times it feels like you're alone in it.
Right.
And I'm known to be a lone wolf, and that's something that I take on.
That's for real. You need to get the team, man. Like, yeah, when is this last New York you're getting your team?
You know, that comes with the rollout, the new rollout of our website. We are actually adding two new members to our team.
Okay. That's what I like to hear.
So they will definitely get a shout out in our newsletter, which is coming soon, as I said. You know, shout out to Trap Villa. Shout out to my guy, Berg. We just recently linked up and we're working on something too. So, and you know what? Shout out to all of Elmont. Absolutely.
Elmont always embraced me. Yeah, like, they always show me love.
Definitely shout out to all of Elmont. You know, I think that we are a Wakanda in a sense, not to be so cliche, but we breed a lot of excellence,
right.
Namely Black excellence. And there are a lot of people that I know who are doing a lot of amazing things.
So all at the same time too.
Right. Like, all at the same time and in their own lane and really taking charge and dominating. So if I didn't get a chance to shout you out, I apologize.
I'm sure the niggas understand.
But shout out to Elmont and everybody that I affiliate with and that I support. I really, 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 really just want to say thank you.
Nah, that's love. That's love. Shout out to Elmont. But one of the things you do is this event you have, this little event, you know. Shout out to Don't Sleep, man.
Shout out to Don't Sleep.
So can we talk about the origin of that? Where did the idea come from and what inspired you to have Don't Sleep? And let people know what Don't Sleep is in general.
Oh, absolutely. So Don't Sleep is a premier platform for women in hip-hop, specifically Black women. And the true premise of the showcase is that I really wanted to put more women on stages around the country. So it really began because I had initially pitched this idea to someone who I work with, and I was like, you know, March is coming up, it's Women's History Month, it'd be really dope if we did an all-female curated show, and we really made and really highlighted these particular women, especially in New York. And so the people who I initially brought the idea to, they were very much on board, but then gears switched a bit and they wanted to go in a different direction, and that kind of fueled me to, you know, think outside the box. And I was like, you know, why does it have to be one show? Why can't this be a staple?
This be a series
right. And this be a reoccurring thing. So from there, it really just like sparked a fire in me, and I was like, you know what, I'm gonna do this. You know, I have the skill set, I have the connections, I have the air for music. I'm really big on artist discovery. And so I was like, you know what? I think this would just be a great outlet for me as far as creatively. And also, it also could be a calling card for The Last New Yorker, because as I said, it's powered through the agency.
Right.
And we put on the shows and we work with a handful of different sponsors. Shout out to Produced by Blaze, Jan Blaze. You know, shout out to Moxie, 1973, my guy Jules.
Right.
They help me tremendously when it comes to putting on these shows. So we put on the first show initially in March, and it was...
I seen the reception. The reception was crazy. It was like it was all over my Instagram.
It was that. It was such a moment. Like,
how did it feel? Like, to put on your first, like, event, you know what I mean? I feel like everybody's throwing a little something, but like an actual event with sponsors and people that are coming out to see the artist that you handpicked. Like, how did that feel? Like,
I'm so immensely grateful. Like I said before, I'm a very humble person. I'm just immensely grateful for everyone who helped, who contributed, who bought a ticket, who, you know, reposted the flyer, who retweeted, you know, my promotion, all of that. It's a very humbling experience. It's almost like when you go to dive in the pool and then those few moments while you're in the air before you hit the water and then you hit the water and it hits you and it impacts you. It's like, wow, it's like it really breathed new life into me and it really showed me that I'm on the right path after I was able, the very first show, I was able to bring four amazing young women together, and three out of the four, they actually went on to form their own relationship, and they have a song together now. They have a posse cut together now, and that was because Don't Sleep was a catalyst to that. I didn't encourage them to, you know, get on the track together. Naturally. It really just happened organically, and that is the whole, you know, purpose behind Don't Sleep. So from March, we did that March 27th because we tend to do them the end of the month. Mm-hmm. And then we did another one, did a follow-up show in June. And it was like, it felt just as good. It felt twice as good because a lot of the alumni even showed up for me.
That's dope.
And that's just such a good feeling. And it's like I have those relationships with those women, at least in my mind, forever. And like we're binded because of that experience. And that's so important to me. And, you know, as we progress into the fourth quarter of this year and then we go into 2020, which is just like...
I can't believe the year's almost over.
I can't believe we're approaching 2020. Flying. Like, that is insane to me. You know, we really want, well, I particularly really want to take the platform to the next level. So we have a lot of really dope things in store.
Are you thinking about different locations? You think about touching different cities?
Oh, absolutely. So you're getting the exclusive. But absolutely. So my plan and... the plan that I'm putting in place now is that I actually want to take Don't Sleep on the road. So ideally, what I have in mind is that we do a 5-city tour, and Don't Sleep is niche specific.
Right.
So with each show, I make sure to highlight women specifically from that area. So New York, all New York artists. And that's my big thing because I got a lot of submissions. I got hella submissions this on the timeline.
Yeah, I remember you tweeted it out and then
it just like it just wildfire. Yeah. And you know, it got to a point where I had to like mute the tweet.
It was like snowballing.
Mute the tweet. And I was like, I'm sorry, I can't take any more submissions. So, what I really want to do is I want it to remain niche specific, and I want it to be just, like I said, a premier platform that highlights those women in those specific cities. So we're looking at a 5-city tour, looking to get that off the ground before the year ends and then into the top of 2020. So I'm super excited.
That's dope. Dope. I'll fuck
you.
With that.
Thank you.
I was going to ask you, what's been some of the challenges in throwing your own event? Like, what do you think has been the biggest hurdle for you?
The biggest hurdle most of the time is taking on that responsibility that I'm going to do X, Y, Z and having to make sure that I deliver on that.
Yeah.
And I'm a perfectionist by nature, so just making sure that things really pan out as I had envisioned them. And a lot of the times they don't. And, you know, my last event that I did, Don't Sleep, the last installment that we did, actually, you know, the venue kind of jerked me. Things kind of went
wayward. Have you had issues with venues? Like, has this been
absolutely. You know, when I reach out to venues and I, of course, mention hip hop and they see our Instagram and they see what time it is, it'll be either complete silence or they'll give me the runaround.
Yeah.
And that's also why I wanted to start Don't Sleep, because it's like, hip hop rap music is popular music. Rap is pop culture.
Yep.
So as much as you try to work around it with people like a Post Malone or a Macklemore or whoever, you know, falls into the guidelines of what's acceptable and what's suitable, rap at its core is Black culture.
Yep.
And we need to keep that in mind. So I said that to say, I created Don't Sleep not only to highlight women in hip-hop and fill that void, but also to make sure that we continue to, you know, propel the culture forward. And so it's rather difficult a lot of the time when I'm negotiating with these venues and they figure out, and you know, I have to be honest, like, this is a rap show. I don't know what goes through their minds. I don't know really what the thought process is. I can only assume. And a lot of the times when they go, it's radio silence. It's obviously, like, because like, it's rap.
I feel like a lot of times, I mean, I feel like rap shows in New York has always been, had issues, you know.
Oh, absolutely.
You know what I mean? Had issues, hip hop police, all that kind of stuff. But I feel like ever since the whole Troy Ave Tax Stone thing, I feel like it's even been a new added layer of difficulty in booking these shows.
And talk about it.
You know, dealing with these venues. So, because I see it all the time, just other people, you know, who throw events and from New York, and I see them complaining sometimes. It's like, yo, these venues are just can't work.
They give
them.
You the runaround, right. But then you show up. And my biggest thing is I under promise and I over deliver.
Right.
So the initial venue that I was working with, our very first show, they were wowed just by the crowd that I was able to bring out.
Right.
And you know, it's not a big bragging boast, but we had 75 tickets sold in pre-sales,
right.
And that was before the event. And then we had an additional 25 people come out and buy tickets at the door,
yeah.
To the point where, you know, the events manager pulled me to the side. He's like, this is amazing. I've never seen this many pre-sale tickets before.
Right.
And it's just like, did you doubt that you were going to break bread with me? Yeah. Like, I don't think you...
It made it seem like they were taking a risk. Like, no.
Like, did you doubt that we were going to pull this off? Right. So it's a lot of things like that. It's a lot of having to stand 10 toes down. It's a lot of having to prove myself time and time again. You know, they say you snap once, you can snap again. And that's a lot of pressure. And that puts a lot of anticipation and expectations on a person. And like you said, I'm a one-woman team at this current point in time. So having to put a lot of this together and really have my vision come to life is probably most definitely the most difficult and challenging part of this.
Do you have any advice for anybody else that wants to put their vision out there the same way you
trust
did?
Yourself. Right. Always trust yourself.
Confidence is key.
Confidence is key. Always trust yourself. And that's something that I'm still learning, to trust myself.
Yeah.
Because when I initially thought of this, I was like, you know, who would even come out to this? Do people even care for a concept like this? But then now we're seeing that women are imploding when it comes to the mainstream wave. We have Megan Thee Stallion, we have Rico Nasty, we have Tierra Whack, right. We have Doja Cat. You know, we still have the OGs, Trina, Nicki Minaj. You know, we have
City Girls.
We have City Girls. We have Cardi. So it's like, this is, women have always been relevant in rap, but now they're becoming more prevalent.
Yeah.
And they are setting a standard of, we are here to stay now. There are so many styles and differentiations among us for you to choose from now. And I really am learning to stay away from the term female rappers and more just, you know, women in hip hop. Because
but women, the thing is too, is I feel like women have always been there. Just not, maybe not even in a rap capacity, just like outside of that. Like,
oh, absolutely.
You know what I mean? Like, you always had your Angie Martinez and people like that, you know?
Absolutely. You've always had your Wendy Williams. You've always had your women behind. Shout out to Wendy. She's living her best life. You've always had your women behind the scenes and prominent players who more or less operate like I do now. And, you know, I really wanted to have leverage in that and really, you know, be a part of that movement. So my biggest advice and my biggest nugget to take away at all from this conversation we're having is to trust yourself. Really trust yourself, because when I came up with this concept of Don't Sleep, I wasn't sure how it'd be received. Mm-hmm. And when I did the first show, I really didn't think that many people would come out.
Yeah.
And I told my team, you know, I told Jules, I told Jan, I said, you know, whether it's 5 people or 50 people, I'm really glad of the work that we're doing and the foundation that we're laying down.
Right. You won before the doors even open, honestly. You know what I mean?
Right.
Just the fact that you have your vision.
Right.
You see it realized, you know, even something that you thought of before other people thought of, and now it's here, you know.
Right.
So you won already before it even started, you know. So.
Exactly. And I think what's so funny to me is that when we think of female talent, we always think, you know, we have to add the softer side and the softer aspect with the R&B singers. And I just want to make it very clear, Don't Sleep is straight bars. And not to discredit anyone who is in R&B, because I love R&B and I love music.
Low-key, I might need a R&B Don't Sleep. I feel like that could be
I mean, maybe at one point, but
in the fall, winter,
Don't Sleep right now is strictly bars, and I'm looking for heat. So please get at me at THEKAIMILLER. Please hit me up.
If that you know any women in rap.
Yes, please hit me up. I'm always looking for
especially
new
talent.
Especially
out of town, too, I feel like.
All over the country, I'm looking, you know, so hit me up.
Definitely, man. Shout out to God, man.
Thank
all right,
you,
so we're going to jump right into the show. What are you feeling? What are you not feeling? You've been on, you're a friend of the show. You've been on here before. So
yes,
you know
I absolutely have.
What are you feeling and not feeling?
What am I feeling right now and not feeling? Okay, so just off the top of my head of what's trending.
Right.
I'm feeling Nicki Minaj taking these men to task.
Here we go.
I'm feeling
it. Here we go. I'm not feeling
it. I'm feeling it. I'm feeling it.
I'm feeling it, but I'm not feeling it. I feel like...
I'm feeling it.
It was good to see and hear Joe Budden get a little bit of his own medicine back at him. You know what I mean? But I feel like the conversation that's come from it wasn't really healthy overall for everybody. I feel like it wasn't healthy.
Why do you feel it wasn't healthy?
I feel like it wasn't healthy because I felt like... it just became a list thing for people. Like, so-and-so's better than this. No, so-and-so's better than that. Instead of actually talking about the real point being made. Like, I felt like people were more focused on the drama surrounding it than the actual what was being discussed, you know?
I have to disagree. I think it depends on your timeline.
Right? You know, I'm on the toxic side of Twitter.
Yeah. You certainly are.
I'm on the toxic side.
You certainly are on
the
toxic side.
I'm with the beast, you know.
You certainly are. I think more so for me is that Nicki Minaj, as antic-filled as she is, as ridiculous as she can be, she deserves the respect that she requests. She deserves that. She has set precedent in this rap game. There was a period in time for 5 years. I want to say probably even
it's
a
longer,
decade.
It's probably 10.
It's probably a decade.
Probably 10.
Where she was the only prominent female rapper. She has set precedent in that.
Right.
And she deserves to be recognized for that. And I think that we forget that a lot of the times because her antics, you know, precede her reputation.
You don't think that takes away from her legacy, though? Some of her antics?
No, because we allow men to do the same
thing. But I feel like people get criticized for that.
No, they do, but then you guys forget about it and you go back to saying how XYZ male rapper is your favorite rapper.
I don't think so. I feel like certain things you do stick with you. Like, I think, for example, I like to bring up Game, right? I feel like everybody knows Game is a great rapper, right? But I feel like the reason he's not on anyone's top 10 ever, because I think Game has a lot of classic projects. He's given us a lot of stuff for like almost 15 something years, right?
Absolutely.
So like, but I feel like a lot of people don't put Game to the side because of all the craziness he does, you know what I mean? I feel like, and it sticks with him. And I feel like it's always going to stick with him.
No, absolutely. I agree in that sense of your comparison. But just take for a moment, like, Tekashi, he's fallen out of our good graces, correct?
Right.
But when he was the topic of conversation, he wasn't behind bars and he wasn't snitching on his counterparts. He was doing ridiculous ass
over the top,
shit.
Over the top.
And people were still like, oh, he's so funny. I'm going to go stream his music right now. This shit is kind of hard. This bangs. Right. And it's like, it's so funny to me because it's like, in the same kind of retrospect, Nicki Minaj was kind of trying to ride that wave and be crazy, but she is looked as a crazy black woman.
But she also was a part of the Tekashi.
No, she definitely was because she understands the game. And I don't think that's necessarily why we should praise her. I'm saying overall.
Oh, yeah, overall.
The precedent she deserves her respect. I'm not a Barb stan. I'm not the biggest Nicki Minaj fan by far. I don't even really listen to her albums, but I understand what she's saying and I understand why there's a reckoning that needs to be had. It's like, listen, and she's absolutely correct. You know, she can't even gloat about her accomplishments in the same way that a Jay-Z or a Cardi can or whoever can about selling any amount of records. It's always like, Nicki, really, why are you bringing up that old shit? But it's like, I put in this work. What do you mean? Why can't I bring this up?
But those people are still putting out quality stuff. Like, you know what I mean? I feel like it's quality.
But look at what we're doing now. There's always, what's the word I'm looking for? there's always a sidebar to why. It's always Nicki did XYZ, but
it's always because she's a complex person within hip hop.
Nicki but why are there so many buts and oh and ifs and all these other things? Like when it comes to speaking on her legacy, she still accomplished these things regardless of how she went about it. And I think we're missing the bigger picture of what she's saying. She cannot live out her legacy or relish in her legacy because so many people want to detract and take away from that because they like to pull back the goal. They like to push back the goalposts. It's, oh, well, she didn't do XYZ, and then she does it. But it's they, like, but then it's...
That's not exclusive to Nicki, though. That's not exclusive to Nicki.
She didn't da-da-da-da-da. It's, I feel like there's just... It's too much of pushing back of the goalposts with her, and I don't understand why.
People do that. People, but that's not exclusive to Nicki. That's if you're a top rapper, you're a top artist, that's gonna happen. Look at Drake. You see that Drake has been the number one rapper for a decade, right? They still weren't, oh, you don't have a classic album. Pusha T, one of the greatest rappers.
No, absolutely.
Damn, he always talking about
absolutely,
Coke. You know what I mean?
Absolutely. But Pusha T can belittle Drake for however long as he wants to, and people will still rave about Pusha T. Nicki can't get involved in any type of beef without that detracting from her legacy. That's right. My point. Right. It's that these men have more room and space, and I'm glad you brought up Pusha T and Drake, because Drake is filled with antics. Right. And the bullshit that he does and how he moves and operates, and I commend him.
But he gets people still take away from who he is because of those antics.
No, absolutely. But you still buy his music and you still praise Drake.
Drake's music has been good.
But, like, okay, you can say that, but I mean, you know.
What was the last Nicki song that resonated with you?
I love Chung Lee. That shit was good.
Okay.
I loved that. I loved Barbie Dreams. When she was in that bag, I love that. And the clips that I've heard of her remix of Pot Smoke's Welcome to the Party.
Right. It sounds right.
She's
sounds
back
right.
in her Chirac right. bag. I like when she's in that pocket. Like I said, I don't buy Nicki Minaj albums. I'm not here for the albums. I think when it comes to her albums, she needs a better A&R.
Yeah.
She needs a better creative director because nothing is ever seamless and cohesive across the board. That, I think, is Nicki Minaj's biggest fault.
I think she kind of has Ciara syndrome. Like, stop trying to with the popness,
yes,
bro.
Yes, I think she has Ciara syndrome. I think she has Ashanti syndrome.
Yeah, bro, like
I think a lot of the OGs in this game, especially particularly like the black women OGs, like a Nicki, like a Ciara, like an Ashanti, a lot of the times they throw whatever at the wall and see what sticks.
Yeah.
And that is something that I've noticed across the board. Right. Instead of being cohesive, if Nicki had given us a record that was filled with bangers like Chun Li and Barbie Dreams, where she was in that pocket, that would have been fire.
I think it's what also hurts her is I feel like it's the lack of collaboration throughout her reign. I feel like she's kind of isolated herself in a way.
No, absolutely. But once again, I think that goes back to what she was saying, the men being involved in women's business and fueling a lot of the bullshit that has prevented her from doing that.
As in,
most clearly, the motorsport controversy, Joe Budden and academics completely set that off and they ignited that flame. They set that off with the whole, the conspiracy theory and how Nicki wouldn't know that Cardi B is on the record. Let's be clear. Nicki says a lot of outlandish things.
Right.
But I highly doubt that Nicki Minaj didn't know who was featured on a record that was originally brought to her. Come on, y'all.
Right. She knew Cardi was on that. Y'all. But the thing is, do you think she was taking shots on that song?
My thing is, I think rap is a sport. And I think you should always take a shot.
You should always go for the jugular.
But that's
contradicting because it's like if rap's a competition and she's going at Cardi, you can't get mad at people for feeling that because that's what you're.
But
you know
I mean, when Kendrick hopped on Big Sean's song and came at every nigga in the game,
and people still felt like
people still revere Kendrick as one of the greatest lyricists of this time.
But they don't take that away from Kendrick's legacy.
And that's my point.
They shouldn't. They shouldn't because like the thing is, like it's cool. It's cool when men have competition, right? But like when women do, it's always, I feel like it's always a little bit, they try to blow it a little bit more over the top. But I feel like that's Nicki's, it's been Nicki's ego as well. Her ego's played a part.
Oh, absolutely.
Like, she's been a hater.
But she's also, I don't necessarily think she's a hater. I just think she's an OG in the game, and she is she's demanding her respect.
All right.
And I think a larger part of this, if we're going to go on the next topic, I just think part of this is when you initially said, was it necessary for how she delivered the message? A lot of times it's not about the delivery. It's the fact that you're stating what you have to say. I feel too often in hip hop, we expect women to, there's so many respectability politics when it comes to women in hip hop.
Right.
No, you cannot be seen as a serious rapper, Meg Thee Stallion, because you're always shaking your ass.
Right.
You have too much sex appeal, but then she fucking murks a freestyle and she puts that to rest. No, Cardi B, you cannot be seen as a Grammy winning lyricist because you don't write your own rhymes, but she still has that trophy in her home and she's still produced what I think is actually a really great body of work for her debut album. I think
Atlantic bought great songs for Cardi.
But listen, regardless of the fact, it's too many respectability politics and it's too much nitpicking when it comes to women. And I feel that we hold women to a higher pedestal than we do men in this rap game, especially when we have bought into a whole subcategory of rap, quote unquote mumble rap, and we've let artists like that thrive. I just feel like we need to take a look at the bigger picture. We really do.
But I feel like a lot of these the mumble rap thing is always weird to me because the people they always claim to be mumble rappers aren't really mumble rappers. Like they say Uzi is a mumble rapper. No, Uzi
to a degree
Uzi
is,
be rapping though.
To a degree he is, but if you really have been
following
if you've really been following Uzi, then you wouldn't say that. I don't agree that he is, but to a degree I can understand why you would say that.
Yeah, I feel like I don't know how they describe it, because I feel like
honestly,
mumble rap
Young Thug is kind of a mumble rapper. I think it's the flow and the melodies that they create and just really jumbling words together.
I think it's more the image. He looks like, because a lot of times they're like, oh, he looked like a mumble rapper, but he's not one.
I think that's a part of it too. I think it's a very layered thing, but
I feel like if it's not boom bappity, I feel like people, oh, that's mumble rap. And I don't think
I can't necessarily say
some people
that.
Say some people most of the people like are like, all right, if it's not boom bappity, then it's mumble rap. If you're a younger artist, you know what I mean?
Mm-hmm.
It's weird. It's weirdo shit, man.
I think nonetheless, I'm feeling
I still think Nicki's a hater though, because remember the whole Travis Scott thing? That was some hater shit.
I don't think it's hater shit.
That was hater shit. That's some Khaled shit.
No, I don't think it's hater shit. She brought to light a very important thing. Album bundles.
That would be cool if she wasn't doing it too.
No, but she did, and she was showing the clear distinction in how certain sales didn't go towards her album, but it did for Travis. I think a lot of the time, the message is lost in her delivery. That is the biggest
delivery
thing.
Delivery is key, bro.
No, delivery is key when you're a woman, not when you're a man. Not when you're a man. You guys listen to the Joe Budden podcast and listen to him scream his head off,
but most of the
and
time,
then you turn it into memes and you think it's funny and you'd be like, this nigga Joe Budden he has such a great perspective.
In the same respect, but when Nicki was talking about To Freedom, that was a meme. You know that meme?
No, it is. Absolutely. I love that she's doing Cream Radio because I think she has the...
I don't like Cream Radio. You know why I don't like Cream Radio?
I think she has the skills for being on a radio show.
The radio portion is good. Like her just talking?
Yes. I think she has the cadence and everything for
that. If she really wanted to transition to that Wendy Williams bag, she could do that.
No, absolutely. And I'm glad that she's showing that other side of her.
But my problem is like... I don't like how it's only her music, bro.
Well, I mean, it's her radio show.
But any other artists on Apple Music, they're playing other... Like, you look at the track list, it's like...
But it's Queen Radio.
I don't like it, man.
You gotta respect... You kiss the ring.
No, you don't have to kiss the ring.
Kiss the ring.
You don't have to kiss the ring.
I'm feeling that. I'm feeling how she left a lot of her fucks in 2018. And she said, this is what it is. And this is how I'm coming with it. And this... And I think the bigger thing that I feel we're missing is she is in control of her narrative. For the first time in a long time, I've actually seen Nicki in control of her narrative. So that's why I'm feeling it.
Right.
Overall, I respect...
You got to salute that.
I respect
anybody
that
who's
she's,
taking control of their narrative, you got to salute.
I respect 100%. That she's taking control of the narrative, and I respect that she's taking these men to task. And I think we have to look at the bigger picture.
That's fair. All right. We'll agree to disagree on Nicki.
We'll agree to disagree.
All right. So what are you not feeling?
Not feeling, I gotta be honest, everybody who knows me, knows that I love Jay-Z. That is my guy.
Oh, yeah.
But I'm not really feeling this NFL partnership.
I got to call ISO on Hove, man. Yo, what are we doing, beloved?
No, seriously, what are we doing? You know, I've been talking to a lot of my friends about it. I'm actually texting my guy, Yo. Shout out to Yo of DJ Booth and just amazing overall.
Yeah, shout out to DJ Booth.
Shout out to DJ Booth as well and just, you know, the whole team over there.
What's up with your boy Hov, man? So, did you take off the Rockefeller chain?
I do. Or is it still on? I'm so done with you.
Is it still on?
Y'all, Van swears that I should have a chain at this point, and it's not even that deep. I really do. You know, my appreciation for Jay-Z is a very layered thing. I admire his lyricism. Right. I admire his business acumen. And I admire what he represents for the Black community. But in that, there also comes responsibility. And there comes a need for critique. And with this NFL partnership, it's very vague and we don't know all the details, but I have read into it because I'm a bookworm and I'm a nerd and I read deeply into it and I viewed the press conference that he had on Wednesday at Roc Nation. And it really just puts a really bad feeling in my stomach.
It's not right.
It doesn't feel right. And seeing him posing and laughing next to Roger.
Fucking Goodell, bro.
Yeah.
The thing is, love Hov, but this one ain't it, man.
This one ain't it.
And it's like...
This one ain't it.
The thing with Hov, he's always been extremely calculated in everything
Absolutely.
He does. So I'm hoping I'm wrong and then...
Me too.
It comes out that like he's just infiltrating the system to
Me
get
too.
What he needs done.
But you know, even in that, man, I was thinking about that. Like, you know, maybe this is a bigger power play and we don't see the chess move just yet of him becoming the first Black NFL league owner. And the thing with that is because he's kind of sideswept Kaepernick in this when he was, you know, a big advocate for Cap.
Wearing
his jersey on SNL, was fiercely critical of the NFL, you know.
Even Travis Scott, remember when Travis Scott was performing,
he was critical,
like, don't do that.
We'll get to that in a second.
Right.
Was critical of Travis Scott and, you know, in the past few years has shown us that he wants to be more invested in social justice.
Right.
The thing that kind of it's just so ironic to me is that during the press conference and in a few stories that I've read and, you know, I've actually watched and I know what he actually said. I confirm these quotes.
Right.
He more or less is saying, you know, we're past the point of kneeling. We want to take the protest further. And this isn't about Kaepernick having a job because he didn't initially kneel because of that. He kneeled to shed light on injustice. But my thing is this. Hov, when you really think about it, and a lot of people are saying, why did Jay-Z have to consult with Kaepernick? Kaepernick didn't consult with him for his lawsuit, and you're right. But think about this for a second. The reason that Jay-Z's even in that room is because of Kaepernick, when you really think about it. The NFL has had a dark cloud over its head since 2016, and since they blackballed Cap out of the league. And now they are putting this prominent Black man as the face of their new initiative, you know, to kind of win over us, the Black community.
And it's so disheartening, bro, because it's fucking Hov, bro. Like, you know what I mean? It's like they're using Jay-Z, probably the greatest rapper, probably a lot of people's
favorite
artist.
One of the biggest icons in the Black community right now of this generation.
Especially in rap.
Especially in rap, you know.
And then you use him in the guise of social justice to really take the pressure off you.
Actually doing the real work.
Right. 100%. And it's like, I don't get it, man.
I don't get it either. And it's like, we don't know the full details, but it's like, either way you slice it, even if he becomes the first Black NFL owner of a team.
I don't even think he could do that.
Or becomes
just off the
a commissioner
thing.
Or
yeah,
whatever, you know.
It was a money grab, I feel. It was a money grab.
It was ultimately a money grab. And, you know, we know this. If you're a true Hov fan, you know that Jay-Z
is
a shrewd capitalist. We know this. He's the first Black billionaire. In my honest opinion, billionaires shouldn't exist.
Right.
You know, but with that said, I think it just goes to show that he even said it. You live long enough, the people you idolize become the people you hate. You know,
right.
You live long enough, you become the villain.
And I'm not gonna write off Hov because he's done a lot of great stuff.
Absolutely not.
You know, but it's just really disappointing when you see somebody who's always preaching, especially in the later part of their career, always preaches there's a bigger picture, this is bigger than us, but then they go for the immediate cash grab of this. It's super disheartening. Like,
absolutely.
All right, you're gonna put a few more black people in a halftime show.
And like, you know, okay, you're gonna donate all these dollars to these organizations, but why do you think? And like, I get it. I've seen all of the different defenses of it on Twitter.
Oh man, people are doing like gymnastics.
They are really doing gymnastics trying to defend this, and I haven't seen any solid argument defending this.
Right.
But it's like, yes, the NFL is a huge platform, and I get it. But it's like, why do you think the NFL even gives a fuck
they
to right the wrongs of how this country is dealing with Black America?
They don't.
When in fact, you know, the NFL was bred out of that same racism,
and it still is.
To this day.
Like, I always tell people the NFL has the worst players' union of any sport.
Absolutely.
So these guys are risking their body more than a lot of people in other sports.
Their brain, CTE, all that stuff.
Because you know what it is, NFL players, they're bred and brainwashed into the ideology. Oh, it's bigger than the team. This is for the team. Team is bigger than me, right? And I think that's a dangerous thing to put into young people's minds, because you grow up into that and you sacrifice yourself for all these years, and you look back, you really don't have anything from it, because a lot of these guys are going broke. They have brain damage. You know what I mean? I feel like other sports is so much better for young people. Because even basketball, like, they teach you, yo, you're the shit. Protect you. Win at all costs,
but
protect you.
I just feel like there's just more ownership.
Yeah.
The NFL, I feel like you're really just a pawn and a puppet.
Look at LeBron James and Rich Paul.
LeBron James.
In 2 days, they got the NCAA to flip.
To completely reverse those criteria of the sports agents.
Expose what they're doing. And then got the league. LeBron was like, man, I'm tired of playing late. You know what they did? League did? They pushed up the games. You know what I mean? LA games aren't going to be on at 10:30.
They could set the markers, I feel, more in basketball.
But the thing is, I feel like the thing with NFL players is like they're so willing to compromise just to appease. So much appeasing going on.
Oh, absolutely.
And I feel like you can't do that when it's your body, when it's your legacy.
Absolutely. And you know, furthermore, on the whole Jay-Z NFL thing, we don't know all the details. I hope I'm wrong, but I really don't see how this could be beneficial to fighting social injustice.
Okay, I feel like they're just going to throw a few more bucks into,
an organization, and that's it.
A commercial hove.
I don't know why the NFL would be a driving vehicle for social change. I don't know why. And, you know, just
getting their fan base, too.
Right.
If really, you know what I mean?
Right.
They're going to see that and change the channel.
And I think the overall thing for me is for all those hove fans who are just like you and I, there's nothing wrong with being critical of someone that you admire. That is where real growth lies. When you can tell someone who you see as a leader in our community, I'm not feeling this.
Yeah.
Because he's cognizant. He knew that there would be backlash. He's absolutely aware of this. You know, and even how it's so muddied over whether or not he consulted with Kaepernick, because one side says yes, the other side says absolutely not. That didn't
happen. I'm going to believe the person that says no. Like,
yeah, I'm going to believe the person that said no, because they have no reason to lie.
Yeah, they have they have a dog in the fight, but it's not as big as Hov.
Exactly.
You know what I
mean? So, you know, I just really want all the Hov fans out there to just really think from an objective point of view and how this makes you feel, because I, and Van knows, and all my friends know, I defend Jay-Z up and down.
I said Nas was that guy. Kai jumped out my throat, bro.
Up and down. And this time around, y'all, I really...
Is it fair to say Nas won? Nas won? Did he get one Nas won?
I couldn't really defend him this time around. So, I'm not really feeling
it. The most dangerous thing is you're not just getting Hov for this. You know you're getting a little bit of Beyonce, too. Because you know she's going to be at the game. She's going to be next to him.
But, you know, like I said, it talks to the bigger point of who they are. They're shrewd capitalists. Beyonce just put out a 22-day vegan diet, and the same diet in which she is noted as saying in her documentary from Homecoming, I'm starving.
Right.
And people are following that. she is regurgitating this and packaging it up for her fans, like, this is how I got skinny. You know, it's the same game, but in a different way.
It's dangerous, man.
Super dangerous. So I just think we need to be more mindful of who we idolize. we need to be critical of those same people, and we really need to a lot of the times look at the bigger picture.
Absolutely. All right, so my feelings and not feelings are pretty quick this week. I'm feeling all the frat and sorority slander I'm seeing on Twitter.
Oh, my God. Yo, y'all, Van really feels a type of way about those organizations.
Shout out to my boy, Mackie Sweet Jones, Keith on Twitter. So he posted a meme of Kamala Harris locking niggas up. And on that picture is her, the AKA shield and logo, whatever the AKAs have. So a lot of them been in his mentions all week, like viciously within his mentions, just going off on them. He's fighting back on every single one of them. He hasn't stopped retweeting it. It's been so funny seeing how far people will go for these organizations. And it's hilarious to me. I think, see, the thing is for me, I'm not gonna disrespect anybody's organization right now, right? But
because they will come for your ass.
I don't give a fuck. Yeah. Fuck off. But the thing is for me, it's like. The thing is for me, it's like we got to be real about these fraternities and sororities and the process of getting in them and what they really, truly stand for.
I don't think we're ever going to get the truth.
We're never, because I feel like...
Because you take an oath when you enter that.
Yeah, it's joining... the funniest tweet I've seen all week is somebody said, man, I'd rather join the Cribs. I'd rather join the Crips than join
Yo, it. Shout out to Neighborhood Nip. Happy birthday.
Oh, yeah. Happy birthday to Nip, of course. You. Shout out to Nip, man. But, yeah, man. He said, I'd rather join the Crips than join one of these frats. And I felt that, bro, because, like, you get a nice little starter pack, at least, with the Crips. Like,
Crips
these guys
are great people.
I remember, all I remember in college is seeing these people join these frats and sororities and, like, the outrageous things they would have to do just to be down, you know? I remember one time, one of my friends, they kidnapped the middle of the day, and they took his group, they took him to Connecticut and Massachusetts, right? Left him there, no phone, no cash, and they had to get back to Queens.
Are you kidding me?
And that's what they did. They had to find their way back to Queens.
How did they find their way back?
Through some, like, hitchhiking craziness, mind you, but it's like six of them, grown men, and they have to get back, you know, so... And then it was this. I remember this one girl that was staying in my building. She couldn't wash for the whole time she was pledging, so she would just be a funky monkey running around. But she had her colors. She got them colors though. But it's like, at what cost? You were just smelly girl for a month. You know,
you was just smelly. You were just smelly girl.
So it's like you really have to. I urge everybody, like, if you plan on joining these frat sororities, really look into like the whole. You know, pledging process, man. Mm. Don't be a weirdo. Don't be out here, you know, swapping egg yolks with your fellow line brothers. And
okay. You're painting a very vivid picture that I do happen. Not want to see.
And on top of that, I'm cool with the line dancing and howling at the moon. Like, oh you God, know what
Van.
I mean?
Yo, they're really about to
I don't
come
care. I don't. What are they going to do? Write a strongly worded letter to me? Like, okay. Like, you know. I'm good. But yeah, the
Van
slander.
On his 50 shit right now.
Yeah, I'm like 50 when you beef with Floyd. Yeah. You could be a page out of the Harry Potter book. But nah, man, I'm feeling the slander for them. What I'm not feeling? I'm not feeling the pandering done by these candidates. Like seeing Cory Booker with the Kool-Aid line. Just
okay, what about Kamala Harris eating the pork chop?
Yo, we ain't even eating pork no more, Kamala. Come on. Like, we off that. You know? I'm just tired of the pandering.
I've actually never seen a pork chop until I saw that video. I'll be completely honest with you guys. Yeah.
I've seen pork chops, but, like, not recently. Like, she pulled that out of the vault. You know what I mean?
No. Like, I haven't eaten pork, like...
I haven't eaten pork since I went to D.C. last with Amanda. Shout out to Amanda. Matter of fact, I got something for Amanda in a second, but we're going to do
it. I haven't eaten pork in, like... 10+
it's
years.
It's good. It's good.
I really don't fuck with that.
But yes, I'm tired of the pandering. Just like, stop it. Like, Cory Booker might be the corniest person I've ever.
Are you feeling the burn?
I'm not feeling the burn either, because he's senile. He's senile.
He's very
Biden
old.
Senile. I'm telling you, the only valid choice we have on the Democratic side is Elizabeth Warren.
Elizabeth Warner, I feel like she's really the only down person. For the people.
She has the person. She's a decent. She's just like a decent person, and she knows what she's talking about. So I'm like. Out of these clowns that we have, I feel like it's a clear pick. But, you know,
I like Samantha. Shorty from Alaska, Tulsi.
She's cool, but she's like, she got some weird old stuff with her, too.
Yeah,
like,
she seemed cool, like, when she checked Kamala. But
yeah, she bodied Kamala. But then, like, Kamala brought up some stuff about her. And
I forget,
like,
it's like her support of some Middle Eastern leader.
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah, it's very, it's very muddy.
Yeah, that's what I'm saying. That's why I feel like people are so complex. Nobody is black and white. It's
Let's
always some gray.
Let's just start our own country on Iceland.
The world is gray. The world is gray.
Yeah, I'm moving to Iceland, y'all. Fuck
I'm going back to Africa, man. Like Nas. Yo, Africa's far. Africa's far. But all right, so we're going to jump right into the watch along this week. This was Kai's choice.
Yes.
We're jumping into a classic by one Missy Elliott, Ludacris, and I think this might be the one with Trina. I don't know if this is the one with Trina.
I really hope it's the one with Trina.
But it's 1 minute, man. We're going to jump right in.
Yeah, shout out to Missy. She's getting the Vanguard Award.
Even though nobody watched the VMAs, but shout out to Missy.
I'm watching it for that.
Oh, yeah,
shit.
Watching that segment. All right, let's jump right in. Keep it on the low. Shout out to the SoundCloud Snipers.
Oh, that's shorty from Moesha.
Moesha? Wasn't she on Cosby Show, too?
I think so, but she was on Moesha. You got this real clear.
Oh, yeah, yeah. Shout out to Apple Products.
Hey.
Shout out to Missy always with the dance moves in her
videos. Yes, and she was not skinty. That's why I F with her.
She didn't get skinny to like workout. I mean, not workout. What's that joint called?
Work It?
Work It, yup. Because I bought that album. Shout out to Missy. Timbaland.
Look at Timbo.
Missy got slaps, bro.
Just her mind is wild.
The choreography be crazy.
It's a wondrous thing.
Yeah, Missy might have the best music videos at a lot of people in rap.
And a lot of people like to say how she wasn't sexual in her rhymes. That's why you guys not like Missy? She was absolutely nasty.
It might not be what you was into, but she was absolutely nasty
in these. She had songs called 1 Minute Man, Work It.
Yeah, come on now. She talked about shaving her box on yes. Come on, guys.
Before the dick appointment.
Come on, guys. Context clues.
This gives me total Kill Bill vibes.
Oh, yeah, yeah. You think Missy... I think Missy might be the best female rapper ever, bro. I think it's between her and Kim.
I think as far as a visionary, she definitely best Kim. But lyrically, I think it's Kim.
That's Kimberly. Fair. I think it's one of them, too.
Yeah. But visually, like...
She got the best videos in rap.
Absolutely.
Like,
nobody's
there's no
her.
Debate.
When I was younger, I wanted to be one of the little kids in her videos so bad.
Oh, yeah. it was jamming in the videos. The fits and two be crazy.
Yes. The little bellboy outfits. Okay, Luda.
This is a classic Ludacris verse, too.
Absolutely.
Ludacris was that dude, man.
Yo, I remember the scene so vividly. He was wilding on this hydraulic bed.
I wanted one of those so bad. Mom was like, boy, what the fuck is wrong with you? Classic.
Make a big splash.
The Luda. I miss this Luda. This before he started getting corny with Mike Moneymaker and shit like that.
No, he was really rocking on the sleep. I am so dead. Is that What's Her Face?
It looked like the twins.
Yes, it's the twins that be running with the Kim, the Kardashians in them.
And the Kardashian slaves? That's crazy. You hang too soon.
You used to be a video hoe. Now look at you.
Full circle. Now she holds Chloe's bags.
Now look at you.
Is that Tweet singing?
I don't remember.
Nikki
stayed. So.
I'm Nikki. Missy stayed with one of them singers.
Look at my girl Trina again.
Shout out to Trina. Trina's top five.
Trina been bad my whole life.
She's always looked good.
I love her verse on here too.
Yeah, she's another classic verse. Niggas gotta respect Trina. Like Trina got Trina top five women rappers. Like
absolutely.
She's top five, bro.
Absolutely.
I feel
she
like
she is yo. She is just so unabashed and so raw
and
with
got,
it.
And she got hits in different eras, like on the low, on the low key. Shout out to Trina. Matter of fact, after this, we're gonna play a little game involving Trina.
We're gonna play a little game.
Play a little game. We're gonna make a phone call involving Trina. Yo, Missy. Shout out to Missy Beats too, cause like her and Timbaland, like Missy always had good beats. I feel like that's why a lot of people was always into her stuff,
absolutely.
Too.
Absolutely. I can't imagine what the arsenal of beats she turned down sounds like.
Yeah.
You ever think about that? Like, all the beats that, like, Missy, Jay,
I love all
Nas,
the stories. I love all the stories just hearing saying, yo, I had that beat first. Like, what?
Right? What? Like, what would you have sounded like on that?
My son Genuine with the straight backs. It's wicked. Shout out to Missy. Well, that was 1 minute, man. But, all right, so I want to start a segment on the show.
Yes.
I have a dear friend. Her name is Amanda. Hey, Amanda's not Amanda. Too cultured. Amanda is the least cultured black person I've ever encountered in my life, right? So what we are going to do is we are going to call Amanda.
Okay.
Right? I'm going to call Amanda and see if she knows, if she can name 5 Trina songs.
Side note, I really love your shirt. Shout out to DJ Screw.
Shout out to DJ Screw. Let's see if I can reach Amanda and she can. Let's see. Where's Amanda? Why is she not popping up on my FaceTime? I feel a way about this now.
By the way, guys, Van loves to FaceTime.
Oh, yeah.
He loves the group FaceTime, too.
Yeah, bro, I will pull up on anybody, bro. I am the can man. Anybody can get pulled up on. Why is Amanda not popping up on here? I feel a way now. Maybe if I call her on my phone, it'll pop up. Cause you think she can name 5 Trina songs?
I have faith that with a little help from Kai Miller.
No, Kai, no guys.
She will be able to name them.
Let her drown. Let her drown. She don't. I guarantee she won't. I think this is this her? Yeah, this is her.
Real friends. How many of us?
It's real. You gotta look at niggas' numbers. You don't know nobody's phone number by heart. I don't care who you are. If you say you do, you're lying.
I know my mom and my daddy's. That's it. About it. That's my own.
That's it. It's like when they asked Nip the Lauren London number. He said, I don't know. She better pick up too. She don't want to talk about it. Yeah. Hello, is this Amanda?
Yes.
Hi, Amanda.
Hey, Amanda. How are you?
Amanda, I'm here with Kai. You're live on the podcast. How do you feel? How are you doing today?
I'm good.
All right, so I started a segment. It's called What Does Amanda Know About Black People?
You're so good.
So, all right, so on this week's rendition of it, we're going to ask you, can you name 5 Trina songs?
Can they also be features that she's on, or it's exclusively a Trina record?
She can do features, because I feel like she doesn't even know that. Name 5 Trina songs.
Okay.
Amanda, can you?
No. Can I have options?
No, it's no options. Name 5 Trina songs. You have to know, like, name 3.
Oh, look back at me.
Yes,
okay,
girl.
Okay, that's one. That's one.
That's vital.
Honestly, I don't know. Google's not giving me too much options.
Why are you on Google? This is not how games are played, Amanda.
Okay, girl. No, you know this
You
one.
Are cheating live on
The
air.
One where she was featured on the Trick Daddy record.
She don't know who Trick Daddy is.
You don't know
who Yes, Trick... I do.
Wait, Amanda. Okay, it's a song where she's featured on Trick Daddy record, and it was her, like, formal introduction to hip-hop.
She don't know. She Googling hard as hell right now. That's why she turned off her camera. This is bad.
But we have one. She said, look back.
This is sad. I'm taking with your car, bro.
No, that really is like the only song.
But that is the most quintessential song. You can't knock her for that.
No, I'm knocking her. How you not 5 Trina songs? Come on now.
I can name 3.
Everybody can name 3 except Amanda.
Shut up.
Don't knock her.
All right, Amanda, love you. I'm going to holler at you. Thank you for participating in What Does Amanda Know About Black People? I'm going to holler at you.
Love you, Evan.
Yeah. Bye. And that's how we're going to end SSID this week. It's been real. I appreciate everybody for listening. Shout out to Kai for coming on.
Thank you so much for having me. I really had a great time.
Everybody said.
I know Amanda's cursing me on that text.
Oh, yeah. You know what that text was about. Motherfucker. You know the vibes. You know the vibes. But, yeah. Shout out to happy birthday to Nip. Happy birthday to Brunel.
Yes. Happy birthday, Nip. Happy birthday, Brunel.
Shout out to Brunel. Kai, you got anything you want to shout out? AKAs, street names, whatever.
I just want to say thank you, everybody, for listening. And make sure that you follow me at THEKAIMILLER at The Kai Miller on Instagram and Twitter. Also, make sure you follow my labor of love, Last New Yorker, at Last New Yorker on Instagram and Twitter. As I mentioned earlier in the show, we have a lot of dope things in store, and I would really love for you to join this journey with me.
Yep, tap in 100%, man. Without SSID.
Peace.
Cool fact, a crocodile can't stick out its tongue. Also, you can get health insurance for a month or just under a year in some states. United Healthcare short-term insurance plans, underwritten by Golden Rule Insurance Company, offer flexible, budget-friendly coverage for you. Learn more at uh1.com.
Need new glasses or want a fresh new style? Warby Parker has you covered. Glasses start at just $95, including anti-reflective, scratch-resistant prescription lenses that block 100% of UV rays. Every frame's designed in-house, with a huge selection of styles for every face shape. And with Warby Parker's free home try-on program, you can order 5 pairs to try at home for free. Shipping is free both ways, too. Go to warbyparker.com/covered to try 5 pairs of frames at home for free. warbyparker.com/covered.
Planning for your next trip?
Elevate your travel style with Quince.
Quince has all the jet-setting essentials you'll want for your next getaway, like European linen, premium luggage options, buttery soft Italian leather bags, and so much more. And it's all priced at 50 to 80% less than similar brands. Plus, Quince only works with factories that use safe and ethical manufacturing practices. Pack your bags with high-quality essentials you'll be wearing for vacations to come with Quince. Go to quince.com/pack for free shipping and 365-day returns.